Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Midah Daf Tes Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked out Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 16 lines from the top of Daf Tes Vav, approximately a third of the way down from the top. You will notice that at the right-hand side of the Gemara text, there is a long marking that ends opposite this particular line. We also have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, enabling you to notice where the opening quote is coming from. We had seen a Tanaic source in our previous shiur, where there is an arrow a few lines up, pointing to Rabbi Yehuda ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who addressed the issue of the period of Me'es Le'es, the retroactive period of time that a woman who discovers that she is a Nida, she is Tamea for 24 hours retroactively. Our Gemara will discuss the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who is featured on the outside margin of our Gemara markings, Shas Ozer. You can see we have a Nosei, a topic heading, in which we've written, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ein Me'es Le'es Shebenida Metame Es Boya LaKlal. The man, the husband, who had relations with his wife, and she had subsequently discovered that she had subsequently entered a Nida state, the husband that had relations with her prior to that is not affected whatsoever. So that even though we say that a woman who discovers she is a Nida is metame, food that she happened to touch, come into contact with 24 hours earlier, within the last 24 hours, if she conducted intimacy with her husband within those last 24 hours, he is not affected. Rabbi Yehuda, our Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda beno Shur Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Omer, Balo nichnas lehechal maktub Torah, to show how pure, how undefiled he is, he uses an extreme example of her husband, if he happened to be a Kohen, would be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash and offer the Ktores offering, the incense offering. Here you'll notice an expression with a double underline, and under our Mivneh heading, on the outside margin, we've written Kushios Al Hanal. We are going to raise questions on Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. The Gemara asks, why do you say that he should be able to go in and offer the Ktores v'tepukle dehave nogea b'me'es le'es shebenida? That even though we're not going to say that he is Tomei as a Boyel Nida, but nevertheless he came into contact with her, and as such he touched a Nida, and that would make him Tomei. In other words, he touched a woman that within the 24-hour period that we're discussing, she becomes a Nida. So did he not touch her within the last 24 hours, and as such he touched her, becoming Tomei himself? The Gemara answers, Hu di Omar Rabbi Yehuda beno Shur Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai follows the Shita of Kishamai, the Shita of Shammai that says at the beginning, we saw this at the beginning of our Masechta, di Omar Kol Hanoshim Dayon Shaiton, that when a woman becomes a Nida, she becomes a Nida from that point onwards, and no retroactive Tumah. The Gemara asks, "V'tepukle dahave balkeri?" But still, how can you say that this man, the husband, goes into the Beis HaMikdash, which requires tahara? How can you say that? Didn't he have intimacy with her, dahave balkeri? And as a result of that, he had an emission in the context of his intimacy, and that also makes him tomei. How can he go into the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara answers, "Bishalo gomar bi'oso." When he was experiencing intimacy, True, later on, within the next 24 hours, she becomes Anita, but he himself had not been gomer to be, he didn't complete his act of intimacy, and as a result, he didn't have an emission, and as such, he is not considered a Baal Keri, which a man who experiences an emission, he does become Tomei, but he didn't complete his act of intimacy with an emission. Umoidim Chachomim L'Rabbi Akiva Beroya Kesem. We saw this in the Tanaic source, namely in the Mishnah. We saw the Chachomim concede to Rabbi Akiva that in the event that she discovers a stain, so the Chachomim will concede that he, the man who had intimacy with her prior to her discovery of the stain, he becomes Tomei. Omar Rav Limafreya Verebi Meir He. This idea that the husband becomes Tomei, this is a retroactive Tuma, and this is in accordance with Rebbe Meir that says that we treat Ksomim with severity. Rashi says, Rebbe Meir de Machmir B'Ksomim Kidomar B'Perakama, and later in this Masicht as well. Ushmul Omar Mikan Ulahabo V'Rabonanhi. According to Shmuel, the Tuma that the husband will experience is from the point of discovery of the Kesem onwards. No retroactive Tuma. And this, of course, is in accordance with the Rabbonan. The Gemara asks, Mikanu labo pshita. Well, that's obvious. If you are to say that he will be Tomei from this point of discovery onwards, so of course she is Tomei. So if he has relations with her at this point, he will become Tomei. What's the chiddush in saying that? So the Gemara answers, Mal detema, Mahoyo ume eis leis derabonan, uksomim derabonan. One might have thought that since the concept of retroactive tuma is of a rabbinic nature, and the fact that we are metama the woman because she discovers a stain is also rabbinic. Ma me'eis le'eis lo metamez bo'yala, just like according to the Rabbonon, me'eis le'eis does not affect the one that had intimacy with her. There's no retroactive tuma imposed upon the man that happened to have intimacy with her before she became Anida. Af ksomim lo metama is boyalo. I would have thought that the fact that she becomes Tomei as a result of a stain, that would not affect the one that has intimacy with her. Komash malon, that's what Shmuel is telling us, that in this case the Rabbonon would concede that she is capable of imposing Tuma on him if he has relations with her from this point onwards. The Gemara asks, V'eima hochi nami. Well, why not say, like you just suggested, that just like there is no me'es le'es that affects the husband, someone will not affect the husband. Maybe we should say that. The Gemara answers, Hosam, in the case of me'es le'es, ein shor shochot lufonecha. There's no concrete evidence in front of you of a problem. That was a simple gezeira that if she discovers herself to be Anita now, so 24 hours retroactively, even though there was no evidence within the last 24 hours of her having been Anita. It's simply a gezeira de Rabbonan. Hacha, on the other hand, here in the case of the Ksumim, it is different. Yesh shor shachut lefonecha. You've got the stain in front of you. That's evidence that there is a problem. Even though it's rabbinic, but still it serves as a sign that there may be a problem. So you have something physical evidence of a problem, and therefore it's different, and we can say that the Rabbonu will concede here that he will be affected. The Rashi elaborates a bit more. Hocha hare shor shochot fonechot betzipor lo nisgasko. She wasn't involved with, let's say, cleaning a chicken which has blood in it. Ubishuk shel tabochem lo'avra. Nor did she go through a butcher market where blood splatters. Umiyom shel of shosoi he besafek zan. From the point that she put on this garment, that she discovers the stain, so that is already creates an element of doubt. There's nothing else for us to be toiled on. V'chein Omar Reish Lakish l'mafreya Rabbi Meir hi. Regarding the ksamim, and its ability to affect the husband, he says, yes, it will affect him even retroactively. That when she puts on the garment today, we would say she's retroactively considered tameah until the last point in time that she could say that the garment did not have a stain on it. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar Mikan Ulabo V'Rabbonan Hi. Rabbi Yochanan says, like we saw Shmuel, that the Rabbonan this concession, the Moidim Chachomim, the Rabbi Akiva, is the Rabbonan who say Mikan Ulabo and not Limafreya. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we have a topic heading that mentions the point that with which the Mishnah itself opens, Kol HaNoshim B'Cheskas Taro L'Baleihen. Women are assumed to be tahoros with regard to their husbands, even without a checking. The whole din of checking is for taharos, but not for intimacy, per se. The Mishnah. Kol HaNoshim B'Cheskas Taro L'Baleihen. Women are assumed to be tohor, and hence allowed for their husbands, even without a checking. Haboyin min haderech, nishayim lohem b'cheskas tara. Men who come in from a trip, from being on the road, and they come home to their wives, they can engage in intimacy without need for checking prior. The Gemara asks, lama li lemisni haboyin min haderech? What is the significance of that particular example? Why does the Mishnah feature that man who comes in from a trip? The Gemara answers, Salkadai Tachamino, without this teaching in the Mishnah, Hani Mili, I would have thought that this concept of Becheskas Tara, that a woman is considered to be Tahor and allowed to her husband, Hechoti Ise Bemasa, that's when the man is in town, in the city, the Ramya Nafsho Ubodka, that she's aware of his presence, and she takes it upon herself to check herself out. Therefore, she is considered allowed to her husband. Aval hecho de lesa b'masa de l'ramia nafsho lo, but where he is not in town, so she doesn't anticipate his being with her, so she doesn't engage in any checkings, so maybe we wouldn't allow her to be with him without a checking before the intimacy when he comes in from a trip. Komash Malon, the chiddush of the Mishnah is even when he's not in town, the woman's tahara state is something she is concerned with, and she will be constantly aware and checking herself to make sure that she remains tahor. So therefore, when the husband himself comes in, he can engage in intimacy working with the assumption that she is tahora. Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Rav Yehuda Nesiyah. Reish Lakish quotes Rav Yehuda Nesiyah, V'hu Sheba Umotza B'Sof Yemei Oynosa. The heter of the Mishnah, that she is considered Becheskas Tara, is provided that he comes within 30 days of her last sighting of a blood flow. But if he was out on the road and more than 30 days lapsed since her last sighting, so she will require a checking for intimacy purposes, because if more than 30 days lapsed, there is an assumption that the blood flow reoccurred, which is very normal for women, and thereby making her tomei. So she doesn't have this cheskas tahara. Omar Rav Huna. You'll notice we have a Roman numeral to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating that there will be two Lishonos on with regard to Rav Huna as we go on in the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, lo shano elo she'ein lo veses. This din of finding her within Yemei Oinoso, within the 30-day period, is only with regard to a woman that doesn't have a fixed time for seeing. Aval yesh lo veses, osur l'shamish. However, if she has a fixed time for seeing, then it will be also for him to have relations. The Gemara asks, this comment is very hard to understand. Klapei laya, where are you going? Adarabba, if anything, the opposite is the case. Ipcha mestabra, the opposite is more logical. Ein lo veses, a woman who doesn't have a fixed time for seeing blood flows, emo chazoi. One could suspect or say that she sees at any given time. Yesh lo veses, veses kavia lo. If she has a fixed time for seeing, so it's that time that establishes her status. So to suggest, as Rav Huna said, that the leniency would be appropriate for a woman that finding her within the Yemei Oino, she doesn't require a checking, as to be appropriate for a woman that doesn't have a veses, that's highly unlikely. If anything, if you're dealing with a woman that has a fixed time for seeing, and you come within that amount of time, then we can be lenient. Elo, I itmar hochi itmar. If Rav Huna said anything on this topic, he thusly said, Omar Rav Huna lo shanu, elo shelo higia shas vesta. The teaching that she is muteris labayla is only if he came within the time that she would ordinarily have a blood flow. Aval higia shas vesta, if that time came by before his return from the trip, asura, then she will be assumed to be forbidden, unless she can say otherwise. Kosovar, this reflects an opinion, vestos d'oraisa, that vestos, the suspicion that the blood will come at its ordained time, is a Torah-based consideration. In this case, Torah, we mean based on it, halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that we assume her tumah status upon the arrival of the vestos time. Rabo bar Chana Omar, afilu higia shas vesto nami muteres. Rabo disagrees with Rav Huna, and says that even if the ordained time for blood flow came, she is still assumed to be muteris to her husband. Kosovar, because he is of the opinion, vestos de rabbonon, the chashash that blood will come is a purely rabbinic concern. Rashi elaborates, vestos de rabbonon, it's richu chachomim livdoik biyom vesto shemo tireh. The rabbis are the ones that impose the need for checking on the day of her vesis. Maybe she had a sighting. However, if the husband was not in town, and we don't know whether she checked herself or not, we don't assume tuma. Rav Ashi, the Gemara continues, Masni Hochi. Rav Ashi teaches thusly. Omar Rav Huna, loy shanu elo, she'ein lo veses liyomim elo, yesh lo veses liyomim liyomim ulekvitzos. The teaching of the Mishnah that she's becheskas tara, that she has a tara status, which implies even if the veses time came, this teaching is a reference to a woman. Once again, this teaching that is mashma, that she's tahora even if the veses time came, is a reference to a type of woman that has a veses fixed time for coming based on time and action. In this case, a date, provided that she jumped. Kevon de b'maisa talya milsa, since her veses, her blood appearance, is dependent on not just a date, but also an action, emo lo kofitz v'lo chazoi, we can say that even though the time for the veses passed, maybe she didn't do the action which is needed to generate the blood flow. Aval yesh lo veses liyomim, if, however, it's a woman that has a fixed time for sighting based on a date alone, a time issue alone, asura l'shamesh, then the husband who comes in from the road cannot automatically go to her to be with her, because then we have to assume maybe she had a sighting. Kosovar vestos doraisa, this reflects the opinion that vestos, the concern, the chashash, that blood will come at its ordained time, is a Torah-based consideration, and hence one has to exercise chumrah, stringency, and not make assumptions. Rabo bar Rachana Omar afilu yesh lo veses liyomim, even a woman that has a fixed time for seeing blood flow based on time alone, muteris, the husband can be with her even without a checking. Kosovar vestos de Rabbonan, this reflects the opinion that vestos, the chashash of or the need for checking at the time, is a rabbinic need, and in the event that we don't know what her status is, we can allow, because it's only a suffek on a halacha that's of a rabbinic nature in the first place. Omar Rav Shmuel Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, Isha Shiesh Lo Veses, a woman that has a fixed time for seeing her blood flow, Bailo Mechashev Yemei Vesta Ubo Oleha. Let's glance at the Rashi on the third line from the top. Mechashev Yemei Vesta Imsha B'derech Shiva Yomim Achar Vesta. If a man had been on the road 7 days, or at least 7 days after her ordained time for seeing, the Achshav Oimedes B'yomim Shicholi Toher, being that, let's say, more at least 7 days ago she started her blood flow because she has a fixed time, so at from the point of blood flow plus 6 more days, total of 7 days, that's the time that she is forbidden and she's Tameah. But after that, on a Torah level, when we learn Maseches Nida, we're dealing with the original Torah level requirements. After day 7, she could achieve Tahara. Therefore, Afilu higia vesto amrinon tavla v'ein tzorach l'shoala. So that if the person makes a calculation that he knows what the date of her expected blood flow is, and he knows that he's coming home more than 7 days after that or that date, he can be with her. He can engage in intimacy even without asking her, because there was a potential for her to have achieved tahara. The Gemara continues. Omar lei Rav Shmuel bar Yevol, the Rabbi Abba. Rav Shmuel asks Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan afilu yalda de bezizo lemitbal. Does this halacha apply even to a young a wife who's very young, a yalda, young girl, who in general is embarrassed to go to tevila, beziza, from the lashon of bizoyon, where she feels embarrassed to go to the mikveh until her husband cajoles her into it, convinces her, appeases her? So are you going to say the same thing, that it's enough for him to calculate that more than 7 days went by and he can go to her? In general, a girl like that doesn't go on her own to the mikveh unless she's appeased into going. Omar Lay, this is an answer. It takes a number of lines to develop. As you can see, we have a long answer marking. Omar Lay, Otu Vadai Roaso, Mi Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Do you think that Rabbi Yochanan said his din with regard to a woman that definitely had a blood flow, that he doesn't have to ask her? Aim Adom Rabbi Yochanan, Sofek Roaso, Sofek Lo Roaso. The whole din of Rabbi Yochanan is regarding a case where we don't know if she had a blood flow or not. And if you say that she had a blood flow, then we can say she most likely went to mikveh. But a woman who definitely saw mi yemar de tovla, would we say that she definitely went to the mikveh? Havilei sofek uvaray. This would be a situation of a sofek. We don't know whether she was tevelis. We know that she was definitely tamea. The ain sofek motzi midei vaday, and a point of doubt, in this case her tevila being the doubt, cannot undo a status of certainty where we know she had become tamea. Rashi adds what is probably the most important point under the Dibor Masel Eimar Tovla. When the Rabbi Yochanan's din was stated in a case of, we don't know that she was definitely Tamea. So Rashi says Eimar Tovla, the Kevon, the time of the Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Sveikahu, since Rabbi Yochanan's din is based on the issue of doubt, namely, I don't know if she was Tamea. And even if she had become tamei, maybe she went to the mikveh. So lo shno yalda, lo shno zekena. Then, as a result of that, we don't make any distinction between a young type wife, a girl, nor an older woman. So that if Rabbi Yochanan is reflecting a point of leniency, but only because we don't know whether she saw or not, so too if a man left a young girl and he doesn't know whether or not she's had a blood flow, he can rely on this leniency. The Gemara now has a series of questions, and we've used a topic heading here, Nosei Ein Sofek Motzi Midei Vadai, and under our Mivneh heading, we've featured the triangle, which indicates Sidra Shukushya Salanao, a series of questions on this principle. The principle that we stated was that a point of a doubt cannot undo that which is certain. And to that, we raise a series of questions. You can see the triangles along the right-hand side of the Gemara text. We have one and two questions that appear to challenge this, but the Gemara will answer them. The Gemara asks, "Velo, is that really so that a suffix cannot undo a certainty?" V'ha Tanya, we have the following Tanaic source, Chover Shemes. Chover is a person who is reliable with regard to tithing his produce. Now here you have a person that died, v'niach megurim leoperos, and he leaves a storehouse full of fruits. Fruits are growth that need tithing. Afilu hein b'nei yomon, even if they're freshly picked. Hare hein b'cheskas misukonim, you can assume that they have been tithed, and go ahead and eat from them however you like. Now, v'ho-ho-cho, v'adai tevel, here you have fruits that we know that as they grow and they're eventually harvested, they become tevel. Tevel means produce before they were tithed. So all produce, at the point that it reaches what's called a gemar malacha, it's been harvested and we'll say boxed, it is tevel. It's definitely tevel. Sofek mu'usar, sofek einu mu'usar. We have, in this case, we don't know whether he tithed or not. We're describing a person who, on the day that the fruits were picked and boxed, he died. So, I don't know, maybe he didn't tithe them. Because he sofek u'motzi midei vaday. And yet, in this source, we see that they're becheskes misukonim. So, the doubt comes and supersedes the certainty, the doubt. Maybe he tithed, enables us to, that assumption, or that possibility, it enables us to overrule or supersede the fact that they definitely had been in a state of tevel, which is pre-tithe state, and a state at which they are forbidden. Pre-tithe, when they're tevel, they're forbidden. The Gemara answers, Hasam vaday uvaday hu, kid Rav Chanina choizah, that case that was just featured in this Tanaic source is really a case of a certainty versus a certainty, based on Reb Hanino's teaching. The Amar Reb Hanino Chozah, Chazoka al Chover Sheino Motzi Mitachas Yado Dover Sheino Mesukon. There is an assumed status upon a person who is called a Chover, as he would not allow to pass from under his hands to for something to be in his domain that remains untithed. Therefore, it's considered as if these fruits have been definitely tithed. The Iboyesema, another approach to answering that the case of the Chover Shemes is not a case of Sofek Motzi Midei Vadai, we can say Sofek U Sofek Hu. True, it's a Sofek, it's a doubt whether or not they were tithed, but it's also a doubt whether they were ever obligated in being tithed in the first place. Uchad Rabbi Yoshia, based on Rabbi Yoshia's teaching, Diyom Rabbi Yoshia, Marim Odom Al Tvu Osoy Umachnisa B'moitz Shela, a person can do a type of legal trick. Ma'arim is an expression indicating a type of legal loophole, whereby he can bring his grains into his house before Gamar Malocha, before the chaff and stubble has been removed from it. That's Umachnisa B'moitz Shelo. He brings it in before it's been received the final stages of processing. And by doing that, by bringing in the grains to one's house before Gemar Malocha, even when he does the Gemar Malocha in the house, let's say he removes the chaff when the produce is already in the house, it does not become obligated to be tithed whatsoever from a Torah standpoint. And a person might do this Kedei Shitei Behemtoi Oicheles Uftura Min HaMaiser, so that his animals could eat from the produce without his having to tithe. So since this possibility exists of fruits being brought into one's house in a pre-Gemar Malocha state, thereby obviating the Torah need for tithing, so you have fruits that don't need to be tithed. So that whether or not he tithed them or not, it could be that the fruits themselves never needed to be tithed. And therefore, the source tells us that it's becheskas mesukanim. They are considered allowed. The Gemara asks, ve'akati ein sofek motzi midei vadei, but still, is that really so? That doubt cannot undo or supersede certainty? V'hotanya. We have the following Tanaic source. Maisa b'shivchosu shel masik echad b'rimoin. Rimon is the name of a place. There was a story, an incident involving a maidservant of a particular individual in the place of Rimon. She hitila nefel labor. She miscarried into a pit. Ubo kohen v'hitzitzbo, and a kohen who is cautioned against encountering tumas meis, a miscarriage. Is something that communicates tumas meis, tuma generated by the dead, and overshadowing is a form of absorbing such tuma. And yet a kohen came and vehitzitzbo and peered over the pit, looking at this miscarriage, leidaim zohar im nekeva, to establish whether the child was a male or female. That has bearing on dinim, laws concerning tumas leida of this shivcha, so it was important for him to establish the gender of the miscarriage. Ubamais lefnei chachomim, this incident became known to the rabbis, v'tiharuhu, and they declared the kohen to be tohor, mitnei shechulda bardalis mitzuyin sham, because these type of creatures, chulda and bardalis, creatures that would eat flesh, that they are found in pits. They're commonly found in pits. Here you have a story where there was a definite miscarriage. Safek goru, safek lo goru. There is a doubt whether or not the animals dragged away the nefel before the kohen came on the scene. V'kasi safek umetzi midivadai. And yet, as far as the ruling of this source is concerned, as you can see, we dashed underline tiharu, they declared the Kohen Tahor, based on the possibility, the doubt, or the possibility that the Nefel wasn't even in the pit in the first place. We should say, when we say in the first place, we mean at the time that the Kohen came to peer over the pit. So that once again, even though at this point we're assuming we know there was a miscarriage, so definitely there was Tumah in the pit. However, there's doubt maybe at the time the Kohen came on the scene, the Tumah was no longer there. And we are declaring him based on that doubt, based on that possibility that he is Tohar. The Gemara answers, Loi Tema, this is answer number one. You can see we've indicated that with a little encircled one. Lo Tema Hitila Nefel Labor. Don't learn this case as there was a definite miscarriage into the pit. Elo Ema Kamin Nefel. There was something that was like a miscarriage. And as that, maybe it was a miscarriage, maybe it was something else that came forth from her. And that with that in mind, that there was never a Tumah in the first place, so that our declaration of the Koinein's Tara is not a function of Sufik undoing a Vadai. There was no Vadai in the first place. We're at the top of Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara continues with a question. V'ha Leida im Zohar im Nekeva Katoni. But the source says that he was trying to check out whether it was male or female, indicating that there was definitely a Nefel there. How can you say there's a Sufik, there's a doubt regarding it? All that was unknown was its gender. The Gemara answers, Hochi Ka'omar. No, thusly we should understand the source. And hence, you can see we've framed it off, treating it as if this were the source. And it's as follows. Ubo Kohen, the Hitzitzbo, Kohen came and peered over the pit, Leida im Nefel Hipila im Ruach Hipila, to establish was there a miscarriage, or maybe what came forth from the bondmaid was a type of a burst of air that gave the feeling of birth, but it was nothing. There wasn't a miscarriage in the first place. Imtim Saloimar Nefel Hipila. If you say that there was a miscarriage, then Leida im Zohar im Nekeva. On the assumption that there was a miscarriage, the Kohen would have then been interested to know the gender of the miscarriage. But as far as we're concerned, it's not a case of Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, because there was no Vadai in the first place. Maybe all that came forth from her was a burst of air. The Iboy Seima, a second defense or answer, is Kevan the Chuldun Barlus Mitzuyin Sham. Since in the pit, the Chuldun Barlus, these carnivorous creatures, are found there, they're commonly there, Vadai Goruhu, they definitely dragged it away. So that even on the grounds that there was a definite miscarriage, that's not something brought into question. Nevertheless, it's not a Sufek Motzi Midei Vadai, it's a Vadai Motzi Midei Vadai. It's a Vadai that these animals dragged away whatever there was in the pit in the first place. So when the Kohen came on the scene, he wasn't encountering any problem of Tumas Mace. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.